Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the documented Angels module. And I tell you, I just love this module. And my prayer is that by the time we get to the end of this particular study, that there's going to be an increase, a capacity in us to believe God for the ministry of angels. As we move forward in His Word, standing on His Word, declaring His Word, that we're believing God, that we're going to work with angels, and that angels are going to be working with us, and that together we're going to be working in the Father's fields. And that's what it's all about, is that we're here to do a work for the Lord, and guess what? We need help. And so that's why we're going to study this. So let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this study. We ask that You would increase the capacity in our hearts to believe, and in believing, to see the ministry of God in the earth. Father, we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him, and He delivers them. Immediately, right out of the Psalms, the promise of the delivering power of God through the ministry of angels. Psalms 91, verse 11, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And the concept of guardian angels probably comes best from this scripture, is that God has given us angels in order to minister to us. And as you read further, they bear you up in their hands. That means they put their hands on you and they keep you from falling. I love that concept. I believe for that concept. And so that's why we're going to get into this study. Angels are real. So let's go to the preface here. There are over 313 mentions of angels in the Bible. The ministry of angels throughout the Bible is quite a study and rather exhaustive. In short, angels are used in a variety of ministry, such as giving messages to God's servants. They deliver, they fight battles, they perform judgments, and in certain situations they cook food, as was in the case with Elijah. 1 Kings 19:5 through 8. In heaven, there are armies that ride horses, Revelation 19:14, and even military divisions that ride in chariots, Psalm 68, verse 17. Remember, it was a fiery chariot that picked up Elijah, taking him to heaven, 2 Kings 2, verse 11. In the book of Revelation, we see that angels differ in size and ability, Revelation 18:1 and then verse 21. We also see that there are angels that can stand in the sun and not be affected by the natural power of its energy, Revelation 19, verse 17. In Abraham's life, the Lord and two angels walked into his camp and dined with him, Genesis 18, verses 1 and 2. These two angels looked like men, ate like men, and were the size of normal men. But as the residents of Sodom found out, they were not normal men. They had been given authority to call down fire and brimstone upon the whole region. Genesis 19, 22 through 24. These heavenly ministers obey the commands of the Lord, listening to the voice of His word and doing what has been directed from His throne, whether for blessing or for judgment. In short, the creation of angels and their ministry came forth from the heart of a loving God. Though out of the artistry of a loving Creator came forth these beings, the creation of man was different and brought forth a depth of God's love that creation had never seen. Now you want to think about that. Think about that. We always want to think about angels. Oh, angels are cool. But the creation of man brought forth a depth of God's love that creation had never seen before. And the angels know this. Let's continue. Man, who hasn't seen the face of God, was created in the image of God to be the sons of God. Yes, his children. Without seeing the face of God, man was given a planet, Earth, to develop and to harness the power of its wealth, and by faith to love the Lord, walking pleasing before him. As we delve into the study, it is important to understand that angels marvel at the creation of man. The great psalmist penned the words, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Psalms 8, verse 4. What did the angelic armies think as the Creator took on flesh and blood and became a man, and then died at the hands of those he created? They witnessed such love flowing from the Creator, who was willing to die in order to redeem the creation called man. Also, I think that angels marvel at the strength in a man or a woman who believes and worships God, whom they have never seen him with their natural eyes. Oh, you gotta pause on that one. Think about it. When heaven looks down, angels look, and they see people that haven't been in heaven, they haven't seen the throne of God, and they have determined, because they love God and they believe God, that they're going to stand their ground in faith and serve God, resisting temptation because they love God. Let me tell you, angels look at that and they are in awe at man. Well, without further ado, let's study angels in the book of Acts. This is amazing. You know, when we get to heaven, let me just add this. When we get to heaven, we're going to see and know with perfection the reality of God's creation called angels. They're not going to be, it's not going to be mystery anymore. You're going to see a throne room of God that is full of angels. All these angels, different sizes, the glory of God is on them. They have voices and they're singing, right? I mean, it's going to be quite amazing. So let's go forward and study angels in the book of Acts. Number one, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, two angels standing with the Lord. Acts 1, verse 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as Jesus went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Note, Jesus declared at the beginning of his ministry that angels would be ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John chapter 1, verse 51. It is interesting to note that Jesus did not say upon the Son of God. Jesus came and ministered as a man, and thus made it clear that angels would come and go, bringing help from the throne of God to him as a man. Even so it is with the body of Christ. Angels are sent to assist the Lord's body, comprising of men and women, throughout the earth. In this first chapter of church history, two angels are standing with the Lord as he commissions his disciples. Thus we see that heaven was not trying to hide the ministry of angels and their role in assisting the church. As the Lord ascended, the disciples stood there with their mouths open in wonder and amazement, and it was in this moment that the angels performed their first act of ministry to the newly formed church. With the Lord taking his rightful place in heaven, the angels and the church were established on the earth to perform his will. The angels had been ministering with the Lord for 3 years of extremely exciting but intense battles against the powers of darkness. Now the Lord was returning to heaven, and these battle-hardened angelic ministers delivered an extremely important message to those standing there. as well as to all who were to come. He is coming back as you watched him go. Jesus had conquered, and the Father's plan was in motion, and the angels of God were sent to help the church as they had helped Jesus during his earthly life and ministry. So in this first example, we see the angels are there. They know about heaven. They know Jesus is going back up into heaven. They're on the earth, right there with those men, and they deliver a powerful message that establishes doctrine. The Lord is coming back. Wow, those words. Now, Jesus, I think he knew. He knew that they were going to be standing there with their mouths open, okay? And he had already talked to those angels. Listen, after I go, I need you to talk to them and give them a message. And that's what this whole Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. And I love it. In the first chapter of Acts, and that's what we're looking at, you see the ministry of angels. It's right there. Jesus didn't wait till Acts chapter 15 in order to start to talk about angels. No, he began the first chapter of church history with the ministry of angels. Very powerful. Let's go on to number two, an angel sent to deliver. A little bit different operation here. Acts chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. Who did it? The angel of the Lord. And brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now, in this, you're seeing two things happen here. You're seeing that the Lord sends his angel in order to deliver. And that is a very powerful part of the ministry of angels. They come with supernatural power and they can deliver, believe me. But then once he delivers them out of the danger, then they deliver another message. Go right back to where you were arrested and begin to teach again. And so in the first example, the Lord gives a message. And not only did he give a message, we see these two angels standing right there with the Lord. They're part of his team. In the second, we see deliverance and another message. Very powerful. Let's go to number three. Angels help in the harvest of Samaria. Acts 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south to the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, when Nicodemus had come to Jesus at night, that's in John chapter 3, the Lord began to speak directly to his heart concerning his need, or man's need, of being born again. In his sermon, in Jesus' sermon to the ancient scribe of Israel, Jesus likens the work of salvation to the moving of the wind. Now, going back to the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, God came down into the garden. He was looking for them, and the Bible says he came in the cool wind of the day. So we see wind. So in effect, Adam and Eve were lost. They were in sin, and the Holy Spirit and the Lord himself came into the garden, in the Bible says, in a cool wind of the day. God was seeking man. God was seeking to save. And that's why Jesus came. And so it is here. We have Philip. He is in revival in Samaria. And who wants to leave such an outpouring of the glory of God? He didn't want to go back to Jerusalem because there was persecution going on. And all of a sudden, guess what happens? God sends an angel and says, hey, Philip, I need to get your attention. I need you to go and do something for me. And so Philip obeys, goes down to the wilderness, to the desert, and there his path intersects the Ethiopian. And the thing that we have to kind of walk away with here is first of all, the wind of God was moving towards Ethiopia. And so God needed to get Jewish Philip into a certain place in the desert in order to get the wind of God's saving power to go into Ethiopia. It doesn't make sense to the mind. But you and I cannot tell which way the wind is going to blow, and we don't know where it's going to go. And Jesus said, that's how salvation works. You obey. Philip obeyed, and the wind of God began to move. And I really sit back and I think, I don't think we can adequately reach the harvest of the nations without the ministry of the angels as well as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need both. And actually, Philip was only one-third of the evangelistic equation. So I really think that we have to slow down as the church and begin to go, you know, we need to pray more, because this whole thing about evangelism isn't really resting on our shoulders. We have a part to play, but so does heaven. And the only way that we're able to truly link together correctly is through prayer. And so, very important, the harvest of the nation. So once again, let's think about what we've seen here. We've seen messages given. We've seen the delivering power of God come through the ministry of angels. And now we see the harvest of Samaria and of the Ethiopian. Very, very powerful. And so we need to study that. And so that's why I said at the beginning, when we get into this, we need to say, Lord, increase our capacity for these operations of God. Amen. Let's go on to number four here. Acts 9 verse 4. Now, this is a really interesting one. The angel of the Lord speaks. And Paul fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Throughout the Bible, we see that there are two angels that minister to the Lord. They are his personal angels. They walked with the Lord into Abraham's camp before destroying Sodom, Genesis 8, verse 2. They were seen in the tomb after his resurrection, Luke 24, verse 4. And they were present at his ascension, Acts 1, verse 10. And also we see in the book of Daniel that while the Lord was standing up over the river, there were two angels, one on each side of the river. So you see the pattern throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that there were two angels that just were around the Lord. And they're high-ranking angels. I don't know. They could be Gabriel and Michael, the Lord's two personal angels. I believe that, but I can't preach that, but there are two angels. So in this passage, the wording, they heard a voice, is important. To understand this more, we will need to look at an occurrence in the Gospel of John where an angel spoke on behalf of the Father. John chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, the Bible says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by, they heard it and said it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. And now, let's continue. Angels are often sent to speak on behalf of the Lord. In this passage and all other corresponding accounts of Paul's conversion, the light shined upon all, and all heard the initial voice. Then, when Paul humbled himself and prayed, the Lord began to speak, manifesting himself personally to Paul. The others in the group did not hear or see the Lord. Only Paul did. In conclusion, it appears that the Lord's angel spoke first with heaven's authority, not only stopping this caravan of persecution, but knocking them all to the ground. This account is very similar to Christ's resurrection, when the angel descended and the glory light upon him knocked all the guards to the ground. as the guards lay on their faces? Then the Lord walked out of the tomb, completely clothed in victory. Matthew 28:3-4. So it is in this account. While everyone was stuck to the ground, the Lord stepped into their midst and revealed himself to Paul. Later, when Paul shares the account, he makes it clear that those with him did not hear the Lord's voice. Acts 9:7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Acts 22:9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him, Jesus, that spoke to me. So Acts 22:9 is really the scripture that gives us, I think, the key that opens up this whole understanding that when the Lord came down to minister to Saul, to change him into a Paul, there were angels there, and they delivered the first word that stopped everything. And you know what they did? They were bringing a cleansing to that whole area by speaking first. Not the Lord speaking first. No, come on. The Lord let his angels go in there and clean it up, knock those guys on the ground. And when it was right and Paul began to humble himself, then the Lord of glory stepped in there and began to speak personally to Paul. Oh, I tell you, I just love this. Let's go to number 5, angels help in the harvest. This is the Gentiles. It's another harvest example. Acts 10:3. And Cornelius saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. The angel knew his name. Pretty amazing. Note, though angels are active in the harvest of the nations, they do not preach the gospel directly to men. The role of preaching belongs to man. As mentioned above, the wind of God's Spirit was blowing for the Gentiles, and an angel was sent to assist in making sure that all the pieces and players were put into their proper position. In this passage, we see that the ministry of angels and the ministry of men working together in the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It is proper to note that without the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of angels, this door to the Gentiles would never have opened, thus making it clear why the Lord commanded his body of believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, fire, and power. Everything about a move of God is supernatural. Whether it is the ministry of angels or the operations of the charisma gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Lord's body upon the earth must be clothed in his supernatural ability. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And, you know, when you look at this, is that here is Jewish Peter. He's not thinking about the Gentiles. And there's Cornelius over there. He's wondering, how can I be saved? Well, it took the ministry of an angel and the gifts and the power of God manifesting to get Jewish Peter over to the house of Roman Cornelius. Now, I want you to think about that. There are places in the earth, there are people that God wants you and me to minister to, but we can't get to them in our own ability. It takes the power of God and the ministry of angels. Oh, so powerful. Let's stop there for right now. And we're going to pick it up in the next session. But like I said, we are believing for an increase of capacity to understand the importance of the ministry of angels. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just close in prayer. Father, seal these words in our heart and increase our capacity. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And we want you to know we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.